The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Investment advice provided on the following program is on an individual basis. Listeners should not consider today's discussion as a recommendation for any investment and should carefully evaluate before investing. This is your Real Estate Today on News Talk 1110 WBT.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the show, Your Real Estate Today. Happy Saturday, wherever you are. We hope you're safe and enjoying yourself and enjoying the weekend, because this is Real Estate Time. You are now tuning into the time where we get to share with you information about your home, your investment, your mortgage, things that we hope will be helpful for you. I'm Paul Jamison, your host. I own Jamison Realty, Jamison Property Management, and Jamison Property Investments. I'm here with Sandy Dickinson with Cross Country Mortgage. We're here today to share as much information as we can with you about what's going on in your home and what is happening with your house. So, thank you for spending your Saturday with us. So, and for those of you that are tuning in, this time and this show is going to be very full. We've got so much we can talk about, and I am excited to do that. So, here is a great time to share what I learned this week. All right, here's what I learned this week. And if you're watching us on YouTube after the show recorded, Sandy just came back to the Zoom call.
Sorry, the doorbell rang.
So, you know, hey, the trials of Zoom, right? Hey, Sandy, welcome.
Hi.
That's radio for you. That's good stuff. TJ's laughing. We got TJ here helping me as he always does on the board. But let's talk about some things. You know, I heard someone say the other day, they were texting, what would it take to sell? What would it take you to sell right now? Yeah. What would it take you to put your house on the market? With inventory as low as it is right now, there's people coming door to door saying, hey, what would it take you to sell? And there's some very positive and negative things. And I don't say negative, let's say positive and challenges that could come along with this discussion. So in the vein of what would it take you out there to want to go ahead and sell, let's talk about that for a minute. Here are some positive. If this is your primary residence you're talking about selling, there's some tax benefits. I'm not a CPA. Please consult your CPA for more information, but I had a good night's sleep last night. There are some tax benefits to you as a single person, if you've lived in the home 2 out of the last 5 years, or a married couple. As a single, you get a $250,000 tax exemption for gain up to $250,000. Or if you're married, it's a gain of up to $500,000. So if you've made up to $500,000 on your house and you are married, then you don't have to pay tax on that money. Please consult your CPA for more information and more discussion. So, if you sell right now, you've got an opportunity to get some tax-free money. Now, do I think that's going to be that way in the future? No. So, this is a good time to do that. Next, you're selling at the peak. There's very little competition. There's nothing. I mean, listings are going higher and higher and higher. I read an article this morning, a home in Washington, D.C. area, outside of Washington, D.C., actually had 79 offers. It went 70% over asking price. And of the 79 offers, like 38 of them were cash. So,
wow.
Crazy. And I'm seeing, I've had situations where I've had 24, 25 offers. There was one they showed in the California West Coast area. Those people are crazy out there anyway. That paid, the house was listed at $1.2 million, sold for $2.2 million. Crazy. Okay. Either the realtor really underpriced that sucker, or somebody really wanted it. You know? Okay. Here's another great positive reason. Buyers are more tolerant for, air quote, out-of-date features. For out-of-date features. They're more tolerant about those things than they used to be. They're not turning their nose up if the master bath is not updated or the kitchen's not fully updated. I mean, it's very different because, again, there's lack of inventory. Here's another positive. You can have your money in the bank and wait for the market to soften. I don't think it's going to be anytime soon, mind you, but you can do that. Have your money in the bank at the top of the real estate sales cycle and wait. You have maximum flexibility when you got money in the bank. Next, you can be more competitive. All right? If you're trying to buy and you don't have a house to sell and you got your money in the bank, you're going to be more competitive and be able to pay a stronger price. Sandy loves this one. Rates are low, low, low. So, as long as they stay low, you're going to be at the top of the mark because higher rates mean that activity will diminish to a certain point. All right? Last, it allows you to have patience. Shall I give you a Zen break? When you've sold your house, you can put together an interim plan. You can look to find the right place if you're not sure where you want to be. And you've always thought, gosh, it would be cool to live uptown. Go rent an Airbnb uptown and try it for a month or three and see if you really like it. If you want to build, you've got the flexibility to build. If you want to get your kids through the final year of college or high school before you move, fine. Go rent something or rent back from the buyer for a period of time to get that done. You don't have to make a jerk reaction just to fill a need. You can go on an adventure. Put your stuff in a pod or a zippy shell or a rat pack thing and put it in storage and go out there and go on an adventure. I had one client, I think I've told the story many times, that went on a cruise in between. All right? So after Sandy gives the mortgage update, after the break, we'll do the challenges. But I want to give you time, Sandy, to give us the mortgage update.
Okay.
I've had four cups of coffee, by the way.
Okay. So, inflation fears, they're out there, but Jamie Dimon, head of Chase, and the Boston chief economist say that they feel like the inflation fears are overblown. We know that it's coming. We probably have a month before it's really going to hit, and that's when the rates will probably go up again. But the slack in the labor market should alleviate some concern. However, the skilled labor, which right now, you know, is somewhat tough to find, might put pressure on the inflation. So it's definitely transitory. Refis are down right now about 5%. Purchases are down a little bit, but I think that's just because there's
no inventory. Yeah.
If there was inventory, they would be up.
Yeah, I read that article too, and I was like, well, duh, you know?
So we're right now only about an eighth lower in rate than we were last year this time, and we're probably going to see them go up. We're planning on them probably going to 4% by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. So still not terrible. But inventory is down 30%, so I think activity, like Paul says, will continue, but you're going to have to pay just a tad more in rate.
Yeah. Well, I still think it's a phenomenal time, you know, and again, we'll go over the challenges around that time, but realistically, even for refis, right, Sandy? I mean, still, there's a whole lot of refi opportunity, right?
60% of the transactions in mortgages are still refis out there. So yeah, there's still opportunity, and we're getting our share every month.
Right, and when you say it's down 5%, I mean it's just a phenomenal number to begin with, right?
Right, and that's just month over month. So
I think that's probably because it's spring break. I think we're going to see this spring season rocking, don't you?
I think so, too. I think so, too. So if I had anything else to sell, I would sell it because it's a great time to sell.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I sold everything I had.
We'll find some stuff to turn around and sell. All right. Well, we've got more to come. The show, Your Real Estate Today, Sandy Dickinson with Cross Country Mortgage. Myself, Paul Jamison. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. News Talk 1110-993 WBT.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Welcome back. Happy Saturday. You're tuned in to WBT. I'm Paul Jamison, your host. This is the show, Your Real Estate Today, and we love spending our Saturdays with you, and I'm excited about what we have to come and what we're going to do together. So thank you for spending time with us. We'll make it worth your while. I'm here with Sandy Dickinson with Cross Country Mortgage. She'll be with me through the whole show today. It's great to have you, Sandy, and great to be here with folks on Saturday. All right. So after the break, I promised I began the first segment, if you're just now tuning in, talking about what would it take you to sell? And I went through the positives around tax changes. You're getting out at the peak. Buyers are more tolerant. You can be more competitive. You can have some patience. Rates are still low. Gives you a chance to go on an adventure. La, 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 la. All right. Now, here come some challenges. Once you sell, you're buying at the top of the market. And it may take you longer in this competitive environment than you'd like. Sell high, buy high is kind of how it's going to be. The adage is buy low, sell high. Well, you're going to sell high, buy high right now. And that's the way that it's going to be. And on a side note, just remember what I talk to everybody about and my thing. 35 to 40% on average of the deals that go under contract fall out. Be the backup. Be the backup. Don't be scared. You might pick up a deal that you would have gotten better than if you were in the first position. So don't be afraid to do that. There's a little positive spun into the challenge. I'm a positive guy, so that's okay. All right. Appraisals. Now, this is a challenge. Appraisers, I don't think they believe what's happening. They don't want to believe what's happening. So we're seeing more challenging appraisals, Sandy. And
yes, we are.
And we need to get the appraisers on board. It's a supply and demand, basic economics. Now, we don't think they're economists, and the only reason they have economists is to make weathermen look good. But I think realistically, you have to adjust with the market. The idea of an appraisal should be what the seller's willing to sell for and the buyer's willing to buy for, with some limitations, right? And so we're asking our appraiser friends to get with the program because this stuff is selling higher because the market is calling for it too. All right? Next, another challenge, construction costs. If you're building, you're selling to build. Construction costs in some areas are up as much as 60%. I had to buy a couple of sheets of plywood at Lowe's and have them cut down. I paid like $77 for two sheets of plywood. Holy guacamole. It's plywood, people. Dang. Unbelievable. Next. My favorite saying, pigs get fat and hogs get slaughtered. In this time when prices are high and you sell, you go out there like a hog, you might get slaughtered. Be careful. All right? Also, if you sell and you have animals, I didn't mean to go from hogs to animals. I wasn't relating to that. If you have dogs or cats, okay? You're limited on where you can go. So you got to have an interim plan ready if you're going to sell to be able to go to an Airbnb that allows dogs or allows cats or have proper housing for them. Now, there are more and more places that do accept animals, but just be cognizant of that, all right? And if you need your furniture when you move or in your interim plan, it's going to get road weathered, especially if you take it out of the house into the truck, into the storage. Then you take some of the furniture over to where you're going to stay. Then you have the mover, when you find a place to stay, get it out of the storage, into the truck, out of the truck, into the house, or out of the rental house, into the truck, out of the truck, into your house. They're touching it. I did that pretty well, didn't I? That's quite a tongue twister. But the reality is, the more time your stuff gets touched, the more opportunity it has to break. So beware of that. I like the container type storage because that way it goes into the container thingy and it stays in there. And then when you're ready to move, it comes out of the container thingy into your house. It's only touched twice. Twice is nice. Okay, so I'm saying. All right. So last night at about 7 o'clock, I'm switching gears on you people. Last night about 7 o'clock, and by the way, I didn't say who I was either. I'm Paul Jameson, your host with the Jameson Companies, here with Sandy Dickinson with Cross Country Mortgage. Okay, so people ought to like kind of might be important to say who I am. You think? TJ's raising a finger, going, "Yeah, that's kind of like 101 radio. Who are you?" So I'm just some guy.
Yeah, everybody knows who you are.
Well, there's this one guy, but anyway, so. I said, well, hey, what are we going to talk about? She says, we're going to talk about non-QM loans. I'm like, what's a QM? And so she told me, so we're going to talk about that. But before we talk about that, I had this really ridiculous thing that I put together called Make Me Get a Mortgage Sandy. Make Me
All
Get
right.
a Mortgage Sandy.
Okay.
Okay. And so... You know, we're competing against, you know, where the non-mortgage. So what's the non-mortgage? You pay cash, right? Paying cash will save you on some fees at the closing. It, you know, you don't have to get an appraisal. You know, it's money that's out of your account and it purchases the mortgage. But I said, why get a mortgage, Sandy? So why get a mortgage, Sandy?
Well, because you can keep your money working for you instead of having it down on the house. And you're gaining appreciation anyway. So honestly, your return on investment is higher with less down payment. So I would say keep your money, invest it, and then have a minimum or whatever you feel comfortable with down on your mortgage. And then... And then you make money both ways.
Yeah. It's interesting because, you know, all the stats are coming out about appreciation, right? And we're seeing uh-huh. at least a minimum of 11%. That's not a bad return on real estate, is it?
Right.
I mean, that's pretty good when you're paying three.
If you look at the return on your investment, and if you only put 10% down, then the return on investment is even higher.
Absolutely.
If it goes up 11%. Yeah.
That's right. The total asset versus what you put into it. So, you know... But I mean, it's a tremendous and you know, having cash gives you a lot of flexibility in the bank, doesn't it?
Yeah, you have more opportunities. It gives you security, you know, for those bumps in the road or whatever happens. It's easy. Yeah, easy access to money is good.
Yeah. So some techniques that people use when they have the opportunity is they pay cash for a home, and then they go back and they refinance it, right? So
that's
it gives
right.
you the negotiation ability, but yet then you can go back in and get a mortgage, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So one of the things that, again, came up in my extensive research in regards to Sandy making me get a mortgage was that, let's say, for example, you get a big bonus, right? And you want to put a chunk down on the principal. You can do something called recast, right?
That's right. That's right. So that's when you put the chunk down, and we spread the remainder of the principal balance over the rest of the life of the loan. It lowers your payment.
Right.
Versus shortening your term of the mortgage.
Right. I did that on my own home loan, and it lowered my payment by $400 a month.
Yep. It's a cool trick.
It is. It's very good. A lot of people don't know how to do that. And there are lots of options to fit your lifestyle and the length of time you're going to be in the house. So, all right. So after we come back, this QM loans, non-QM loans is what we're going to learn about. Sandy Dickinson with Cross Country, myself, Paul Jamison with the Jamison Companies in Real Estate, here to spend Saturday with you on News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Be right back.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Welcome back. It's Paul Jamison with the Jamison Companies. That's Realty Property Management and Property Investments here on the show, Your Real Estate Today. Here with Sandy Dickinson with Cross Country Mortgage. Popping in on your Saturday, dropping some information on top of your day. Hope you're enjoying yourself wherever you are. Hope you're out having a wonderful day on your boat or in your car or out in your yard or wherever you may be, wherever may be, wherever you may be. We hope that you're having a great day. So, all right, Sandy, non-QM loans. What are QMs?
QMs are qualified mortgages. So after the big crash, the CFPB was developed, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, so that mortgage companies would be more accountable for what they're doing. So anyway, qualified mortgage is one that's less risky. So it would be a 30-year loan or less, fixed rate, and it wouldn't have risky features like negative amortization, interest-only payments, or balloon payments. So they labeled those qualified mortgages.
Okay, well, that makes sense. Okay, I'm tracking with you so far.
Okay.
All right, so tell me about some of the attributes and some of the types.
Of the non-qualified?
Yes.
So the non-QM would be your bank statement program. So say you have a self-employed borrower that, for good reasons, writes off every stinking expense he can, and then he doesn't end up with any income.
Yes.
So when that happens, it may be more worth it. Like, keep in mind that non-qualified mortgages or non-QM mortgages are going to have a higher rate. But for a lot of people, it's worth it because they can reduce their tax liability, and it makes sense to them. So,
but does the debt to earning ratio, is that the same or is it higher?
The debt to income ratio is higher.
Is it? Oh, okay. All right. So it takes a little bit more to qualify then.
Well, we just average your deposits on your bank statement.
Gotcha.
And
okay.
Yeah, so the qualification is similar, but it'll let you go up to 50% debt ratio.
Okay.
But we either use 12 or 24 months, so keep your bank statements. Nobody does that anymore.
Yeah.
You have to go back and get them from the bank, but if you keep them, and we can either use business or we can use personal, we'll average the deposits and determine that as your income. And if it's business, I think we take out an expense ratio because we know there are going to be some expenses, but that's determined in several ways. But anyway, we do quite a few of those, and we get them through, and people can buy houses even though they're self-employed and they write everything off. You can also use it for the service industry when people get paid tips because that's super hard to track. But you can do it through the deposits as long as they're depositing their tips.
As long as it's not in the mattress. Yeah.
Right.
Makes sense.
I know. When I was a waitress, I used to hide my money in my boot so the husband didn't see it, so I could spend it any way I wanted.
Ah, very smart. Very smart. The old boot trick.
Well, I don't wonder why that marriage didn't last.
You gave him the boot. All right, he found the boot. Yeah. All right. What other types?
Okay. So we have investor cash flow, which is probably interesting to you since you work with a lot of investors. So it's based on the debt service coverage on only the subject property. So They take that by rents divided by the proposed principal, interest, taxes, insurance, and association dues. Mm-hmm. So they will have to have a rental history, like some history of managing a rental property. But you can have then up to 20 properties financed, which Fannie Mae only allows you to have 10.
Yeah.
So if that's your business, if you're an investor and that's your business, this is not a bad deal for you.
Yeah, it says here in the notes that it's up to 70% loan to value. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. So actually, it may even be up to 80% in some cases. Well, yeah, right, for investors, 70%.
Yeah.
Getting crazy here. Okay. Yeah. So we also have the asset qualifier. So we have a lot of people now with a lot of assets, and some of them are in retirement funds, and some of them are in brokerage accounts and investment accounts and stocks. And we can't use, if we try to use anything that's liquid like that, not the retirement but the others, to qualify you for a mortgage, you just can't do it. It's now called asset depletion. They don't allow it. Any money coming out to, say you're retired or you just have a lot of money and you don't really work, any money that you take out monthly from a brokerage account, we can't count as income. We can only count it if you take it out of a retirement account. So this program allows you to do that. And that doesn't even have a debt ratio. We just use a percentage of your outstanding mortgage debt, and we determine that you qualify, because we're assuming if you have that kind of money, you have the ability to make your payment.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you do have to have good credit, obviously.
Yeah. What is considered good credit these days?
In this case, you get the highest loan to value at a 720 or higher score.
Mm-hmm.
So with a regular agency loan, like a conventional FHA, conventional wants a 740 score to give you the best rate, even though they'll let you have one at 620, but they're going to charge you a lot for that, for that rate and that mortgage insurance if you have it. But this for these programs, 720 and higher.
Oh, okay.
And we don't always use the lowest of the borrowers. Like in conventional financing, we use the lower middle score for both borrowers. In this case, a couple of the programs will let you just use the lower of the or the middle score of the primary borrower, which sometimes works to their advantage.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I've always laughed about the fact that Carrie's credit score is higher than mine and she doesn't work. I don't know how that happens.
Happens all the time.
Golly.
So she's smart.
I don't know where her boot is, but I need to find it because there's probably a bunch of money in there somewhere.
There are some other perks to these programs. For instance, we can do non-mortgageable condos. If you have non-permitted additions, we allow that.
Oh.
Yeah. You can have some minor deferred maintenance as long as it's not a safety or health hazard. Deed restrictions. You can put the loans in an LLC or a partnership. That's not allowed on agency loans. Mm-hmm. This is good to big jumbo loans too, like up to three and a half million, I believe.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
And Cross Country has all this stuff.
Well, yep, that's their that's their programs in house. I don't have to broker those out.
Wow, what's interesting is the non-permitted additions. That's the first I've ever seen that before.
Yeah.
Or non-warrantable condos. I've not seen that before either. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, so that, you know, they still have to have some warrants, but case by case, we can do those. Like, they'll let you have more commercial space, up to 40% versus the, 25% that Fannie Mae has. That one person can own up to 25% of the unit, which is only 10%. With Fannie Mae, and then, you know, budgets are always an issue with warrantable condos, and they're a little more lax on that, too.
Yeah, what's also interesting that you mentioned was the ability to have up to 20 investment properties, and where typically we've seen some lenders are 4 and others were 10.
Some are 4. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an overlay. And we have a lot of people now buying investment properties, so... it's good to have outlets like this.
Tell me about the jumbo. So are jumbos now starting to get more competitive?
Jumbos, yeah. So what's good that we have is 25 different outlets for jumbos. They're back and they're furious. So
oh, good.
So, yeah, pricing is very similar to conforming. We now have up to 90%, which is nice. Sometimes you still have to have two appraisals. But they are, we have a program that we can just run through an automated underwriting system. It's a signature program, and it does make it a little easier because it's rough sometimes to get a jumbo loan with all the paperwork and all the people looking at it and, you know, investors looking at it, underwriters looking at it. It gets a little nuts, but this makes it a little easier.
Yeah. Are you seeing a lot of appraisal waivers?
I am a ton on no cash refis, no cash out refis. And then I would think up to 30% of our purchases we get waivers on.
That's pretty good.
And we just let everybody know. And if they don't care about having an appraisal, we just move forward and move faster.
There you go. Cross Country Mortgage. This is Paul Jamison with Jamison Realty. I'm on with Sandy Dickinson. We'll be back after the break. We still got more to come. Hang tight, because we're going to talk about how to sell in the spring. How to sell in the spring, because it's here. The Show Your Real Estate Today, News Talk 1110-99.3 WBT. Don't go anywhere.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Welcome back to the Show Your Real Estate Today. It's Paul Jamison, your host with the Jamison family of companies, Realty, Property Management, and Property Investments. Here with Sandy Dickinson with Cross Country Mortgage. If you're interested in a refi or a purchase, you want to get with Sandy as soon as possible. Sandy, how can people get in touch with you if they are interested in learning more about what we're discussing today, or they need you for a mortgage or refi?
They can call my mobile at 704-577-0144.
704-577-0144. 704-577-0144. Sandy Dickinson with Cross Country Mortgage. Sorry about that. All right. Many years of training, untrained. All right. So, how do you sell in the spring? Well, part of it is I can hear birds chirping in the background over at Sandy's. So if you got some bird chirping music, you certainly want to play that. That's always helpful to sell. But you start with the simple. How about curb appeal? Getting around the curb. Around the mailbox is always a great place to decorate. It's one of the first things people see as they roll up. So make sure your mailbox is painted nice, happy. If you've got a bird poop covered mailbox that is bent over, rusted, and the door stuck open, that's not a good impression. Go out and buy a brand new mailbox. Maybe easier than trying to salvage the one you have. If your mailbox is in the shape of a trout, maybe it's time to trout down to Lowe's and get you a new one. So, I don't know that you're going to attract buyers with a trout mailbox. So, maybe some. You might reel a couple in. All right. What about the front door? Sorry, TJ. What about the front door? The front door needs to be, number one, clean, and number two, not have a boot print on it where someone kicked it in. I went the other day to this house, and there was the perfect pattern of a shoe on the left side of the door. That doesn't leave a good impression. Make sure your door is dent-free, clean, happy, and please make sure that it works, because I can't show it if I can't get in. Don't lock the screen door either. Okay, next. My favorite, power washing. So, I want to tell you, this is not a plug for Northern Tool. They do not pay, nor do they endorse me in any way, shape, or form. However, Northern Tool has this round thing that attaches to my power washer. It's on a wand, and it's round about the size of a big pie, maybe a little bigger. And inside of it are these little jets that spin around. And it has a brush. And you put that on the end of your power washer, and it will clean your driveway and sidewalk like nobody's business. It's the coolest thing ever. It's about $100. Get it. It's cool. And it works. It doesn't work really well when you try to do it on the side of the house. You're going to have to do more traditional power washing because you're fighting that little disky thing. But on your driveway and on your sidewalk, it is rocking. It's a real game changer. All right. Another thing is when you're driving up to the house thinking about curb appeal, a lot of times the trees haven't been limbed up in a while. You might want to limb up a few trees to really let the house be seen as you pull up. I bought one of those chainsaws that's on a 10-foot pole. They're not very expensive. And I got a quote from a company that was going to do it. They were going to charge me about $400 to limb up these two trees. I went and bought the tool. Tool cost me $200. I did it myself. And now I have a tool and I saved $200. And now all my neighbors want to borrow the tool. So there you go. All right. Fresh mulch and pine straw. Duh. All right. I mean, you have to draw them in, right? That draws people in. You know, if you don't draw them in, you're not going to see the inside of the checkbook. You're just not. All right. The entryway. Time to take down the picture of Aunt Myrtle. Here's something I want you to think about. Aunt Myrtle, she may be cool and she may like to play poker and drink a case of beer a month. But Aunt Myrtle does not belong in the entryway. The sale is made on the house in the first 15 seconds. They're either going to buy it or not buy it, or go farther or go out. So make sure that you make that rocking. That inside entryway is what gets it done. All right? And get some staging help. If you can't afford to have your home staged, have a stager come in. We provide that at Jameson. Carrie does that. We come in. We give you a consult as to what should stay and what should go, what paint colors to use and things to do, because you don't want to make it too sparse, right? You want to make it balanced and livable and want somebody to live there. Make sure you get a consult to make the house look as good as it can with the things that you have. And if you need a place to store some stuff and you're on a budget, put it in the garage. Safe place to put anything. Store it in there. All right? Change out the light fixtures. You know the light fixture I'm talking about that's in everybody's living room that looks like a spider and it's brass and is in every stinking house that's over the last 20 years? It's like you want to take the thing down and drag it behind the truck. Get it out. That fixture's got to go bye-bye. Get a really cool fixture. It's not that expensive. They got some really cool looking stuff. All right. Clean the registers. If your registers are rusty and your registers are black or your registers are nasty, change them. It's not expensive. I believe the last time that I looked, the average metal register at a big box store is somewhere around $9. Change out the registers. And if your register, your intake one is so caked with yuck because you haven't changed the filter or dusted it off and you have to get a chisel and a hammer to get the guck off, you can replace that too. It's not hard and it leaves an impression. So go ahead and do that. Okay. If you are tuned out to me and you're not hearing anything else I'm saying, and all you're hearing is wah, 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 like Charlie Brown's mother, all right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to call Marty Ivy at Ivy Exterminating, and I want you to have him do two things for you. I want you to have him, if you're on a crawl space, get in your crawl space and inspect it and see if it needs anything. And I want you to have him, if you do not have a termite bond, do a termite inspection. Do not leave the biggest reason why contracts fall through undone. 72% of my deals fall through because people do not get in the crawl space. Common sense things, pull up your blinds, wash your windows, declutter like a crazy person. And if you got the droopy fan, you know what I'm talking about, that looks like a flower that is like done. That you people are visualizing what I'm talking about. The droopy fan where the blades are going down. That is not a good look. Time to say goodbye to the droopy fan. You can replace the blades or you can just replace the fan in and of itself. I have seen them with 3 to 4 inches of dust on top of the blade. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. I'm just trying to help. Paul Jameson's consulting show. Let's have Zen together. All right. Also, make sure you point out things that are good to know. Put a notice on the counter and let people know why you've loved to live there. All right, Sandy, how can they get you again?
704-577-0144.
Cross Country Mortgage. Myself, Paul Jameson. If you're ready to sell, we'd love to talk to you. Investors, buyers, we're all about real estate. We get it done. Call us at 846-DONE, 846-3663, or on the web at myjamesonhomes.com. Thank you for your time. We appreciate you. God bless. Enjoy your Saturday. Talk to you next week.